When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington. And we are in the search of the Dreadstones. We're not exactly sure why, but Thimbach wants them. Now, either he's been filled with this desire effect that these Dreadstones seem to have, or since he is one of the great heroes of the age, he probably realized, yeah, these are some bad stuff, let's just get rid of them. Or maybe a mix of both. Probably a mix of both. Or maybe he hasn't really explained yet, he just says he wants them and we're perfectly willing to go after them. Anyway, they are in the lairs of Guthrum the Great, who is we read his lore book entry in the previous episode, so I'm not going to read it again, but he's a great elementalist who then disappeared. Apparently he has at least one of the Dreadstones. Maybe he had more at one point, but apparently he only has one now. They seem to be the sort of artifacts that get bored of someone and wander off. Sort of like the World Ring, but not, you know, as hugely tied into the narrative. But, you know, they will. You don't want them, but you don't want to want them, but you want them. And you don't want that you want, but you end up wanting them anyway. Or something like that. Anyway, let's descend into the shadowy lair. After taking one last look around at the desolate but beautiful surroundings, you carefully make your way down the steep set of mossy steps and into the shadowy lair. You stand at the bottom of a steep set of damp, moss-covered steps that ascend out of sight into the shadows overhead. The wide passage you're in extends north and south from here, disappearing into the unsettling gloom in both directions after only a few yards. Now, I'm sort of near the southwest corner of this dungeon, and from what I can see so far, it seems to be a big square with four passages going into the centre. Now I'm going to make my way to the very southwest corner. Now the normal description of wandering around where there's nothing special is with your trusted light source scattering the darkness. You cautiously make your way through the wide corridors of the long forgotten lair, and we've got and southwest corner. As you reach a bend in the passage, you suddenly stop dead in your tracks as your eyes fall upon a nightmarish sight emerging out of the gloom ahead. Standing in battle formation, blocking the entire section of the corridor in front of you, is a sizable legion of armoured skeletal warriors. It is difficult to determine their exact number, probably because, you know, some of them are behind others and they're moving. to determine an exact number, but you estimate there were at least 24 of the fleshless undead present. Standing at the centre of the hideous formation, nearly 2 feet taller than the undead warriors that surround him, is a robed skeleton clutching a crusty, broad-bladed sword in his thick, robed fingers. Oh no! Has a robe? Well, that usually means they've got magic. Now and again, the apparent leader of the Undead Legion raises his sword, causing the skeletons under his charge to follow suit with their own crude and decaying weapons. Wait a minute. Gathrin the Great is an elementalist! What's he doing with undead? He's not a necromancer. Maybe he had a necromancer friend to help with the... wizards hang out with wizards. It's like, hey, I wanna build a tomb. Oh, you like some undead guardians? I could summon some up for you. Oh, yeah, thank you very much. Would you like some elemental guardians for your tomb? Oh, of course, yeah, we'll just swap them out. Yeah, okay. You're thankful you haven't yet. You're thankful you haven't yet been spotted. So I can approach the Skeletal Legion, attempt to sneak by to the east, or sneak back to the north. Well, let's go to the east and see what happens. You attempt to slip past this legion of skeletal warriors. Now, come on, no, that's not a legion. That's just a company. It's not even a single century. No. Legion. Legion is thousands. Let's not just throw the word legion around all willy-nilly. A legion is obviously based off the Roman legion, and they had thousands. Admittedly, probably less thousands than intended, because, you know, deaths, and supply being difficult, but usually several thousand, even in the most dire circumstances. You tend to add changed a bit depending on the formations and how many auxiliaries they had near the legion. You attempt to slip past the legion of skeletal warriors and continue along the passage beyond, picking a number. Bonus of 49. 19 from favour, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Gotta get 75 or more, or I guess I'll have to fight them. Pick now. 55, failure. Well, looks like it's fighting. Using the deep gloom at the edge of the corridor as your cover, and the fact that Sir Croakington is very small, you attempt to slip past the skeletal legion, but you're quickly spotted, I guess Sir Croakin just happened to just spring to exactly eye level. And also, basically, most of her isn't bright green because of all the armour she's wearing. But the parts that aren't covered in armour are bright green. And maybe that made her sort of easy to notice, even in this gloomy tomb. So, anyway, she was noticed. Using the deep gloom at the edge of the corridor as your cover, you attempt to slip past the skeletal legion. But you're quickly spotted. Oh, yeah, that green thing! Yeah, let's attack that! They say, you know, skeleton eat, which is hiss, 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 because that's the sound skeletons make, apparently. I mean, you can't disagree. Have you ever been attacked by a moving skeleton? Do you know what sound they make? No, you haven't. So, you can't say they don't. You're quickly spotted. The armoured skeletons suddenly break rank and surge forward along the corridor. Oh, breaking rank? You don't break rank! You gotta maintain formation. But if you break formation, you're just asking for trouble. You gotta maintain formation so, you know, your shields could overlap. And you can't just have one guy just sticking out ahead where you can, where they can, you know, be easily targeted. That's why they have formations. They're not just there to look neat. I mean, they do, but that's just a positive side of it. They have formations, you know, so flanking's hard. The gruesome array of corroded weapons, right, waving wildly in the air as they close. Ooh, an array of weapons. That might make the formation a bit less effective. Because I think usually one or two different types of weapons, otherwise the coordination just becomes a pig. A gruesome array of corroded weapons waving wildly in the air as they close in around you. You quickly realise within a few short moments you will no longer be able to escape from the mist of your undead ascent. Then I shall flee! You turn and flee along the corridor and will leave to discover you have not been pursued. Okay, I fled to the north side. Okay, let's try again. It's those undead again. Apparently they forgot all about me. Probably because they're undead and, let's face it, they're a little bit dumb. They pretty much only have... They only have whatever crude instructions the magic that resurrected them imbued them with. I mean, there are presumably more smarter undead. But those ones are the most likely to, you know, rebel. Or, you know, just get bored. Wandered off. Yes, it's always a bit of a question. You want them smart enough to obey, but not smart enough to disobey. It's always a tough thing with your minions. You know, unless you can, like, give them a reason to obey you, but who wants to do that? I mean, they wouldn't be minions anymore if they don't just obey you because you said so. Alright, let's sneak past the east again. Same check as before, pick now. 53 failure, quickly spotted. Alright. Look, I'm going to deal with these skeletal legions. I think there'll be one in each corner. This is mostly memory. Engage the skeletal legion. You bravely hold your ground as the first wave of skeletal warriors closes in, hissing wildly in anticipation of felling their living prey. I guess Sir Croakington has retreated into the corner where it's a darn sight harder for them to surround her. Of course, they can still do it a little bit, but not so much as they could do if she was along the edge or even more so in the middle where they could presumably easily have the entire, almost the entire force within stabby range. And that might be a bit too much for her. Probably not, though. But it'd definitely be a bit too much for her if she did it at the lower level this could be done at. Because apparently this is a non-AG quest. Or at least that's what the adventure title said. I'm not sure if there's anything before it that's non-AG, But if it is a non-AG quest, that means it can be done by very weak characters. Anyway, six chain-clad skeletons. The chain-clad skeletal warriors hiss as they attack. Skeletal warrior. Da 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 da. And so on. And they're slain. 5 XP. You step over the shattered remains of the skeletons that litter the floor of the passage at your feet and prepare to face the next wave of fierce undead warriors. The skeletal warriors that surround you hiss and shriek wildly as they wake at you with their deadly, rotting claws. I've got some options. I could use fortification, necromancy, shadow magic, or just dodge. I'm going to use fortification first. I'm just going to go down the list. It failed. You stifle an agonized cry as the jagged, decaying claws of your enemy. That's actually their toe claws because they're trying to kick me. It's all the way down there. They do 13 damage. Wounded, but still alive. You steel yourself to face the next wave of undead. You bravely hold your ground as the second wave of skeletal warriors closes in, hissing wildly in anticipation of felling their living prey. Four chain-clad skeletons. Just going to click my way through these. And they are slain. 4 XP. You step over the shattered one and you see the low amount of XP. That's another sign that the MR rating of these foes is quite low. You step over the shattered remains of the skeletons that litter the floor of the passage at your feet and prepare to face the next wave of fierce undead warriors. You bravely hold your ground as a third wave of skeletal warriors closes in, hissing wildly in anticipation of felling their living prey. 7 chain-clad skeletons this time. They hiss wildly as you attack. They deal you a brutal blow for 4 damage, okay? I've seen the specials now, so the next rounds, I'm just going to quick combat them. They are slain. 5 XP. You step over the shattered remains of the skeletons that litter the floor of the passage at your feet and prepare to face the next wave of fierce undead warriors. It's the fourth wave now. Just going to quick combat that. I end it with a battle wage. Stop being so numerous, you skeletons! I've got a dreadstone to find! And so on. 5 XP. You step over the shattered remains of the skeletons that litter the floor of the passage at your feet and prepare to face the next wave of fierce undead warriors. The skeletal warriors that surround you hiss and shriek wildly as they wake at you with their deadly rotting claws. Okay, let's try fortification again. This time it succeeded. 4 XP to fortification. You channel your power of fortification and manage to erect a shimmering barrier, silver sparkles, that faithfully protects you from the claws of your undead foes. Right, 6 chain-clad skeletons for the 5th wave. Just quick combat that. Another 5 XP. The 6th wave, another 5 chain-clad skeletons. I think we've quite significantly passed 2 dozen by now. Maybe some more sneaked in while we weren't looking. Okay, they're now shrieking and clawing at me again. Let's use necromancy. Seeded. 4 XP to necromancy. You call upon your power of necromancy and manage to exert enough influence over your undead enemies to cause them to stop clawing at you. But only that, not to say, just say, stop being undead, be regular bones. And they're like, okay. And then they collapse. Probably because I'm distracted by the whole them actually attacking me. Then, well, we'll see. 3 chain clad skeletons, quick combat there. 4 XP. 6 for the 8th wave. 5 XP. Okay, they're clawing at me again. Now, to use the last of the options. Well, the power options. Shadow magic. That requires 50 plus. The others were only 40 plus. But that's not really that much of an issue because you get shadow magic in proving grounds 5. Unless you do a very peculiar way of getting it, but that's so suboptimal that very few people will do it. Although, admittedly, you will get a few lines of text in it that you cannot get any other way. So maybe it's worth doing just once. And there's a clue about how to get it. Anyway, 8 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic, and your head is immediately filled with sinister whispers. Suddenly, a thick web of shadows forms out of the gloom that surrounds you, and dutifully serves to fend off the waking claws of your undead foes. Now on to the 9th wave with 3 chain-clad skeletons. Just going to quick combat that, and they are slain. That's 4 XP, and then 64 XP to general, with its piercing shriek echoing off the walls of the corridor. The last of the armoured undead warriors collapses into a pile of bone at your feet. Only the robed leader of the now departed skeletons remains. Well, we'll have to deal with that. With only the clank of rusted plate armour echoing eerily off the moss-covered passage walls, the robed, sword-wielding leader of the skeletal legion, well, I guess he's now the leader of nothing, steps threateningly towards you. Attack the towering skeleton. Without warning, your fearsome undead foe rushes forward and attacks, striking out at you with this rusted but deadly instrument of war. It's a towering robed skeleton. Let us begin combat. The robed skeletal warrior steps silently forward and attacks. Keep going, and slain. 5 XP, 32 experience to general. You step back and exhale sharply. As the towering plate-armoured skeleton collapses into a heap of rusted iron and splintered bone in the centre of the corridor, you make a quick search of the creature's gruesome remains, are surprised to find a wood and bone crown lying nearby. You decide to pick up the item and take it with you. Let's have a closer look at the wood and bone crown. This plain wooden crown has been inlaid with several thin strips of polished bone. This is armour for your head, so I'm just going to use it. So it's on the quick use item, and consider that I may have to equip it. After taking a few moments to check over your equipment and to catch your breath, you once again set off to resume your exploration of this shadowy lair. Okay, now the way past the southwest corner is now cleared. Making my way east now. A tall, faceless statue of an armoured warrior stands against a wall in this section of the corridor. A narrow indent encircles the top of the statue's head. That looks like a place to put a crown. So let's use the wooden bone crown. 16 XP to general. Apparently I was supposed to do that. You place the thin crown of wood and bone atop the head of the statue and discovered it fits perfectly. From somewhere far off in the gloom, the unmistakable creak of some heavy metal object reaches your ears. Don't know why that's done, but it was probably supposed to do it. Okay, I'm now south of one of the four passages into the middle. What happens if I go north? There's question marks on both of the tiles of the way that goes into the middle, because the gap in the middle of the square is only 5 by 5 squares, and which means the corridors to the middle are only 2 squares, and then there's 4 2x2 squares in each corner of the middle bit. Yeah, it's very much very symmetrical dungeon, this one. Alright, go north. And go north again. You're standing in a tall iron door at the edge of the passage. The door has no visible latch, and as you step close to it, you find yourself repelled by a deep and inexplicable sense of dread. Several complex symbols have been engraved upon the surface of the door, and you're all but certain that it's protected by powerful magic. Your eyes are suddenly drawn to something lying on the ground at the foot of the door. A closer examination of the item reveals it to be a mouldy, mould-covered, leather-bound book. Ooh, book! Take it! You reach down and take hold of the mould-covered book. You quickly examine the book and determine it's a journal that appears to have been kept by Gerthwin, and it's just there for some reason. It's a mouldy journal. To see if you can read any part of this journal, examine it in more detail by clicking on it in your inventory. Okay, I will. Mouldy journal. It's difficult to make out any of the text that's scrawled on the mould-covered pages of this journal. One passage is clear enough to read. Alright, okay. I think as a master elementalist, you just, you know, summon a couple of ice elementals, you know, keep it, you know, fresh. And stop them, deter the mold. Or maybe just some fire elementals, that also deter the mold, but that has the risk of burning it, so probably dump off with those. I'm sure there's plenty of ways you could keep it preserved with a bit of elementalism. Anyway, let's weed. It is difficult to make out any of the text that's scrawled on the mould-covered passages of this journal, but one passage is clear enough to weed. Read the passage. It's difficult to make out any of the text that is scrawled on the mould-covered pages of this journal. But one passage is clear enough to weed. This place was never meant to be my tomb. It was to be a place of solitude. It hailed its halls a path to profound enlightenment. It's become a grave. I curse the day I laid eyes upon that stone. So wondrous and dreadful it is. So grand and so cruel. Had I still the other two of its kin, things might now be very different. The stone has taken deep offence at the loss of its brethren. Though there is little that may be done about it now. I suppose the goblins that stole it are now firmly under its spell. They are weak creatures, and these cursed rocks prey upon weakness. Right, so are the stones sentient or sapient? I mean, they could be. There's naught that I can do but wait out my remaining days, here in what were to be happy halls, where the stone cannot bring harm to others through me. Okay, so he knew. He maintained enough sanity to realise I'm slipping and soon I will slip entirely. I've got to get away from people before I do something absolutely horrible. At times I think it is perhaps not the stone at all, but something beyond, something peering through it. Piercing its opaque surface with a gaze both distant and chilling. The stone has begun attracting the walking dead. I can only surmise that these wretched creatures are also under its spell. Perhaps in some day, now lost forever in the shadows of time, they too possess the stone. It's frightful to think its sinister call may never be silenced. If someone should find their way to the heart of this place, I pray that it will leave me as they find me, and take away that which is undoing me, that which I cannot bear to part with, that which, if given the chance, would surely bring the world to the doorstep of ruin. Okay, so his desire is take the stone, but leave him be. Will I go along with that? We'll see. Towards the bottom of the journal page, in a bolder script, in the west, the name Garthwin has been scrawled. Alright, that's that. That doesn't actually give you any clues. It's pure lore, that journal. And that's nice. Not everything has to, you know, tie into the mechanics. In fact, most things shouldn't. Because everything ties into the mechanics, you start to feel... It starts to feel more like it kind of makes the game too obviously a game. You have to maintain the illusion that these are things that are happening to people that exist, but just elsewhere. Somewhere deep in the nebulous and then beyond it in another world that we're just happening to hear the stories of and maybe affecting them. Alright, let's head back south. Alright, let's make my way to the southeast corner. And it's another of those two, it's another legion of armoured skeletal warriors. And as a big tall skeleton in the middle as the leader. Now and again, the apparent leader of the undead legion raises his sword, causing the skeletons under his charge to follow suit with their own crude and decaying weapons. You're thankful you haven't yet been spotted. So, I tried the sneaking before, so approach the skeletal legion. You boldly step towards the skeletal legion. And at once, the fiendish undead warriors turn in your direction. The clatter of bones and the rattle of armour fill the passage as the gruesome undead force swiftly draw themselves into battle formation. The leader of the vicious undead creatures raises his rusted sword and levels it at you. Without hesitation, the fleshless soldiers take a step forward. You sense the skeletal legion is preparing to charge forward and engage you. So, I can use necromancy against undead, so presumably that's either to destroy them or take control of some of them or something like that. We'll see when we do it. Or I could just hold my ground and prepare to face the skeletons, just deal with them in the traditional way of smashy smashy or flees to the west, which admittedly just puts off fighting them for a bit, but not too long, because there's no way back to a safe space. To a safe space or to do anything else, so you're going to have to fight them eventually. Because I think I'm going to have to get 4 crowns for 4 statues. Because this is a very symmetrical dungeon. So, necromancy it is. It succeeded. 64 experience to necromancy. You channel your power of necromancy and focus it on the entire skeletal legion, hoping that you can convince the long dead warriors to return to the grave, or at least some of them. Almost at once, the armoured, fleshless regiment halts their steady advance. Okay, regiment's closer than legion. Regiment's a few hundred, I think. Not sure. I think it varies because some regiments have 1 battalion, some have multiple. I guess it depends on whether you're doing a big war or not. Because I'm only referring to British Army regiments with them having a single battalion regiment, so assuming bigger armies. Most or all of the regiments have multiple battalions, and it's probably all slightly different, but sort of similar, because they've all kind of just sort of standardized themselves somehow. Almost at once, the armored, fleshless regiment halts their steady advance. Then, after several tense moments, the entire legion collapses to the floor with a loud clatter. Your attempt to return the undead fiends to the eternal west has succeeded. Only the massive leader, the now departed skeletons, remains.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
With only the clank of the rusted plate armor echoing eerily off the moss-covered passage walls, the massive, sword-wielding leader of the Skeletal Legion steps threateningly towards you. Now look, you're not that threatening now. I just disbanded your entire army without even touching them. Of course, you're not. You're not, you know, sapient in any way, so you'd there's no reason for me even to talk to you. Attack the towering skeleton without warning. The fearsome legion of the undead foe, your fearsome undead foe, rushes forward and attacks, striking out at you this rusted but deadly instrument of war. It's a towering massive skeleton, but soon it's not going to be towering, and it's going to be substantially less massive because of all the stuff I smashed. The massive skeletal warrior steps silently forward and attacks. The Quickstone will repeat the 20 you rolled next round, and then it does. It is slain. 5 XP, 32 experience to general. You step back and exhale sharply as the towering plate armor skeleton collapses into a heap of rusted iron and splintered bone in the center of the corridor. You make a quick search of the gruesome creature's remains and are surprised to find a wooden bone crown lying nearby, just like the one we just found. You decide to pick up the item and take it with you. After taking a few moments to check over your equipment and catch your breath, you once again set off to resume your exploration of this shadowy lair. Okay, I know I can go north a bit. Here's another of those statues of an armoured warrior. And another place to use the crown we just got, which is in a head slot. Wooden bone crown, use. Which is honestly a lot easier to find than when they're in the misc slot, where there's dozens of things there. And for other people, it could be even more if you don't store some stuff. 16 XP to general. You place the thin crown of wood and bone atop the head of the statue and discover that it fits perfectly. From somewhere far off in the gloom, the unmistakable creak of some heavy metal object reaches your ears. I guess these are all opening the way to the very middle. Okay, go north a bit, and now I can go west to the middle. And the doors are blocked again. There's nothing here. Okay, I make my way to the northeast corner. And it's another legion of undead. Approach them. And now, since you get slightly more XP for fighting them manually, that's what I'll be doing. Hold your ground and prepare to face the skeletons. Engage the Skeletal Legion. Quick combat. There's 7. First wave, 7. Second wave, 3. It's a bit randomised, which is, I guess, why you don't know how many skeletons there is, because the game doesn't know. It just randomises you 8 fights. Quick combat to 2 clean-clad skeletons. Still only 4 XP there. 6 is 4 chain-clad. 7 chain clads in the 7th wave. Finish off with some battle wage. 5 XP. You get slightly more XP if you get 1 more XP if you fight a lot of skeletons. Here's the 8th wave. Quick combat. face the next wave. The skeletal warriors that surround you hiss and shriek wildly as they wake at you with their deadly rotting claws. So you could use fortification necromancy shadow magic, but we saw that before in the opposite corner, to attempt to dodge the claws of your undead foes. You twist and weave in a desperate attempt to dodge the rotting claws of your undead fiendish foes. I guess I just hop really high. Because, you know, toad. Picking a number. Bonus of 49. 90 from an arm. Combat, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got to get 50 or more. This means I cannot fail. There is no way for me to fail this check. The only question is, how will I be just narrowly? Will I just narrowly avoid being scratched? Or will I be several feet higher in the air and, you know, just, or maybe just casually bonking on one of their heads? Pick now. 81, success. A remarkable display of agility and combat prowess every time they try to claw at Sir Crokin. She's already springed and is several feet above their heads. Even the heads of the really tall leader. And in fact, is jumping on the head of the really tall leader. And, well, anyway, now it's time to fight them. You steel yourself to face the next wave of undead. Six chain clad skeletons, quick combat. That was the ninth wave. So get 5 XP for finishing that combat. And then 64 experience to general. So as you can see, that's the same experience as you got for just doing it quickly. But you don't get all the combat experience, and that's, what, 40 times 9? 40 times 4 times 9, about 36, so about 50% or so extra experience for fighting them all manually, but it takes quite a bit longer, so Only the leader remains. Attack the towering skeleton. Just gonna quit. No, I'm gonna fight it manually. The headless skeletal warrior steps silently forward and attacks. Wait, this one's headless? Oh, I didn't even read that. Oh well, it is slain. You step back and its tail sharp. 5 XP, 32 experience to general. You step back and exhale sharply as the towering plate armor skeleton collapses into a heap of rusted iron and splintered bone in the center of the corridor. You make a quick search of the gruesome creature's remains and are surprised to find a wooden bone crown lying nearby. You decide to pick up the ice and take it with you. It's the same as the others. I know you also pick it up. And West, place to use the crown. Wood and bone crown, use 16 XP to general. From somewhere far off in the gloom, the unmistakable creak of some heavy metal object reaches your ears. And now, to go further to the west, to the northwest corner. Now, does anything happen if I go down the south passage to the middle? No, it's the same as the middle on the south side of mine, on the north side. I think I'm going to have to defeat the final corner. As you reach the bend in the passage, you suddenly stop dead in your tracks as your eyes fall upon a nightmarish sight emerging out of the gloom ahead, standing in battle formation. Blocking the entire section of corridor in front of you is a sizable legion of armoured skeletal warriors. It is difficult to determine their exact number, but you estimate there are at least 2 dozen of this fleshless undead present. Standing in the centre of the hideous formation, nearly 2 feet taller than the undead warriors that surround him, is a helmed skeleton, clutching a rusty, broad-bladed sword in his thick bone fingers, Now and again, the apparent leader of the undead legion raises his sword, causing the skeletons under his charge to follow suit with their own crude and decaying weapons. Okay, this is a helm skeleton. I think they're just a little bit different to all the leaders. Just a little bit. You're thankful you haven't yet been spotted. Approach the skeletal legion. I could use necromancy. You boldly step towards the skeletal legion, and at once the fiendish undead warriors turn in your direction. The clatter of bones and the rattle of armour fill the passage, as a gruesome undead force swiftly draw themselves into a battle formation. The leader of the vicious undead creatures raises his rusted sword and levels it at you, and without hesitation, his fleshless soldiers take a step forward. You sense the skeletal legion is preparing to charge forward and engage you. Well, let's hold my ground and engage them. The armoured skeletons suddenly break rank and surge forward along the corridor, their gruesome array of corroded weapons waving wildly in the air as they close in around you. You quickly realise that within a few short moments you will no longer be able to escape from the mist of your undead assailants. Engage the skeletal legion. You bravely hold your ground as the first wave of skeletal warriors closes in, hissing wildly in anticipation of felling their living prey. Just gonna quick combat my way through these. That's the first one. The skeletal warriors that surround you hiss and shriek wildly as they wake at you with their deadly rotting claws. Attempt to dodge the claws. You twist and writhe in an attempt to dodge the rotting claws of your fiendish undead foes. Pick your number. Bonus of 49. 90 from number on combat. 20 from agility. 10 from luck. Gotta get 50 or more so I cannot fail. Pick now. 102 success. In a remarkable display of agility and combat prowess, you manage to dodge the claws, attempting to tear your flesh to shreds. You steel yourself to face the next wave of undead. There's three of them in the second wave. Just quick combating my way through them. Now, necromancy. Stop them clawing at you, but they'll still go. 5 for the third wave. 4 XP. 3 for the fourth wave. Another 4 XP. 4 for the fifth wave. 4 XP. They're clawing at me again. Shadow magic. 8 XP for that. So 1 more for you. 4 more XP for using shadow magic than the others, because it's a higher level skill. So suddenly a thick web of shadow falls out of the gloom that surrounds you, and dutifully serves to fend off the waking claws of undead foes. 2 for the 6. And 7 for the 7th wave. It gets me 5 XP. 4 for the 8th wave. Is that the last of them? Yep. 4 XP, 64 XP to general. With a piercing shriek echoing off the walls of the corridor, the last of the armoured undead warriors collapses into a pile of bone at your feet. Only the helmed leader of the now departed skeletons remain. Well then, let us attack the towering skeleton. It's a towering helm skeleton. Begin combat. Step silently toward forward and attacks, and it is slain. 5 XP, 32 XP general. It's another of those wooden bone crowns. Okay. And here's where I'm going to put the wooden bone crown. Just, it's in my list of head armour. Wooden bone crown, use. 16 XP to general. You place a thin crown of wood and bone atop the head of the statue. You discover it fits perfectly. From somewhere far off in the gloom, the unmistakable creak of some heavy metal object reaches your ears. Okay, I think I'll be able to get into the middle now. Let's see, I'm going along the western side. You're standing before a tall iron door at the end of the passage. The door has no visible latch, and you step closer to it. You find yourself repelled by a deep and inexplicable sense of dread. Several complex symbols have been engraved upon the surface of the door, and you're all but certain it is protected by powerful magic. Suddenly, without warning, and with a groan that reverberates along the length of the corridor, the massive iron door swings slowly inward. Step through the open door. You step through the open iron door and enter a small chamber, lit by the brilliant but erratic glow emanated by weaving tines of energy. Emitted by weaving tines of energy. Four iron doors, each of them standing open, offer exits from this small chamber. They are to the north, south, east and west, because of how the maps work, that's pretty much the only direction they can be in. That's just how it works, it's convenience. I'm guessing perhaps you could have other directions in the tile-based dungeons. Theoretically, but usually not. And of course, when you're not using a map, such as in the Ruins of Yar Talon with all the Tuzzle, and in under Lilac Monastery, you can have other directions. But when you're using the map, you're kind of stuck with cardinal directions. Next to each of the doors, burning with pale blue flames, are four ensconced torches. The ghostly fires that blaze atop the torches produce no heat, and only an extremely faint flickering light. It's in the very centre of the room, however, that immediately captures your attention, for there, suspended in mid-air, encased in a crackling web of blue lightning, is the woad body of a white-bearded elderly man. Wait a minute. Is something happening here? Is he not dead? Just sealed away? Because of the old Dreadstone madness? Despite his apparent predicament, the man's eyes are closed, and his withered face bears a peaceful look that's suggestive of deep sleep. His chest rises and falls slowly, but rhythmically. Yep, that, something only the living do. Undead don't, breathe. Because then they wouldn't be undead, they'll just be resurrected. Although they do hiss. But I guess that's just a thing. You're certain that this is indeed Garthwin. So I can approach the suspended figure of Garthwin. A large stone chest stands against the southern wall of this chamber. The chest's heavy lid is closed. Let's approach the suspended figure of Garthwin first. I can lead to the north, east, west and south, but that'll just get me to the outside of the dungeon again. And I'll have to get the dreadstones here to be finished, so no point really doing that. Approach the suspended figure of Garthwin. As you approach the suspended, iron-encased figure at the centre of the chamber, you spot a tall iron lever protruding from the floor. Though you can't be certain, you believe that pulling the lever might release the white-bearded man from his suspended state. Now, the journal said he doesn't want to be released. Now, I happen to remember you get... Well, actually, I'm going to look it up, just so you know. Okay, how he reacts depends on whether you have the Dreadstone yet. Because, yes, you can get the Dreadstone here. Thwimback's associate and confederate information was correct. That's sort of spoiling something that's going to happen in the next couple of minutes. So, if you pull the lever... Once you've took the Dreadstone, he is, obviously, because of the whole artifact of attraction, Dreadstone stuff, he's angry and you have to fight him. But if you pull it now, you can get some XP, 384 to general and 64 XP to all skills and powers. I mean, it's nice, but it's not It's not a huge amount of experience. It's not the amount of experience that would take hours and hours of grinding to get. So it's probably not worth violating the last wishes of a man who's gone through way too much for. So I'm going to step away from the suspended man. Alright, examine the chest. The chest is not locked. Well, I'm guessing having to defeat all those undead was security enough. But as you draw near to it, you're overcome by a powerful sense of dread. Also, I think it might not be locked because there's a definite part of Garthwin, as you saw in his journal, that wanted the dreadstone gone. But he had to make it difficult because of the dreadstone. But he made it slightly easier than he could have. But still very difficult, you didn't say. Yeah, dreadstones, they mess with you. They mess you up in the head. Anyway, open the chest. You grasp the edge of the heavy stone lid and push it upwards, almost at once. An overpowering awe of fear washes over you, picking a random number. Bonus of 20, all from spirit. Gotta get 50 or more, or be spooked. Pick now. 38, failure. The awe of fear swiftly overwhelmed your senses, 11 damage. Drained and weakened by your failure to resist the effects of the aura, but thankful to still be alive, you lean forward and peer into the chest. You peer into the open chest, and your eyes immediately fall upon a fist-sized, smooth grey stone. Three small figures, each with its arms and legs awkwardly posed, are carved into the surface of the stone. So, take the stone, or leave the stone where it lies. Well, the whole reason I'm here is to get the stone, so I'm going to get it. Take the stone. With a powerful sense of dread comes over you as you take hold of the smooth grey stone at the bottom of the chest. And it's a grey stone, and it's like the dreadstone we got before. Three small figures, each with its arms and legs angled awkwardly with respect to their bodies, are carved into the smooth surface of this fist-sized grey stone. A sudden movement to your left startles you. You turn to find, much to your horror, that the white-bearded man, though still suspended in the mist of the web lightning, has opened his eyes. Oh no, I'm going to have to fight him. The old man turns his head in your direction, causing your heart to skip a beat as its sinister gaze falls over you. An enraged look passes over his withered, white-bearded face as his stare shifts to the stone you now clutch tightly in your right hand. You immediately sense that he has not taken kindly to your removal of the dreadstone from your chest. Despite the unsettling turn of events, you're certain that you could not bring yourself to part with the stone, even if you wanted to. Suddenly, the white-haired man closes his eyes and returns to his previous peaceful state. And that's presumably why he had the whole suspending thing, so that someone could take the stone. But it's just all complicated enough to trick the dreadstone into thinking he wants to stay with the dreadstone forever. And, yeah, I mean, he'd like that, but he would probably also like not having it. It's all very complicated when you have two wills just shoved in your own skull, and they don't at all get along. Yeah. Alright, let's go west. Head back west. Okay, let's get to the exit. climb the stairs. I'm just going to do a bit of healing in case something turns up. Climb the stairs and leave this space. You carefully make your way out of the slick, mossy steps and soon emerge from the gloom into the welcome light of day. You've taken less than 10 steps into the dark opening in the earth through which you've just climbed when a violent tremor shakes the ground below your feet. You spin around to find a thick cloud of dust rising up through the opening. When the dust clears, you're shocked to discover the steep steps that once descended into the lair of Garthwin the Great are no more. Only darkness greets your gaze as you peer into the opening. After taking one last look around, you turn and make your way east, back towards Tantalus. You hope to reach the city gates before dusk. The return trek to Tantalus is long and difficult, and you're plagued by the constant and nagging suspicion you're being watched and followed. Now and again, you abruptly change course, attempting to throw any would-be pursuers off your trail. But time after time, the eerie feeling that your every step is falling under the gaze of a watchful gaze of an unseen, lurking presence, probably the Dreadstones themselves, returns to fill you with a growing sense of dread. You arrive safely at the gates of Tysus Capital long after night has fallen. So, 768 experience to general, and 64 experience to all skills and powers. Now, can I tell Thrimback about that? To the Goblin Claw Inn. This is the Goblin Claw Inn. We already described it in the previous episode, so I'm not going to read through all the stuff. Enter the inn. Seat in the common room. Thrimback's table. Yep. He does want to see it. 512 experience to general. Thrimback is overjoyed when you report to him the success of your endeavour, detailing to him your excursion into the long-lost lair of Garthwin the Great and your recovery of the Dreadstone. Don't let me see them. Either of them, he says, holding up his hands, as if to add emphasis to his words. I've had a peek at one of them, but that's enough. Well done, Sir Crokinton. Now if we could only find the third one. Well, give me a little time, I suppose. The renowned adventurer promptly calls for two flagons, and as you consume the witch brew, you fill him in on some of the details of your adventure. At length, you prepare to take your leave of Thrimback, telling him you'll let him know if you should find the third Dreadstone. And should I hear word of anything, I'll let you know, he says. Well done again, Sir Crokington. You bid Thrimback farewell and make your way out of the Goblin Claw. Alright, has anything been unlocked? Well, there is the adventure called The Giants of Gallowtap. Now that's newly unlocked, so yeah, and I happen to know from experience it's the Dreadstone Saga. Does Thrimback have anything to say to me? Take a seat in the calm room. Okay, apparently no. I can't talk with Thrimback. Isn't there, or he is there and I'm just not noticing him. Anyhow, so in the Southfoot region, the next adventure will be The Giants of Gallowtap. And, well, that's to do with the Dreadstones. So, we'll just, presumably, we may well have to take them for someone who's been absolutely driven bonkers by the Dreadstones. And presumably there'll be some sort of undead as well, because apparently the Dreadstones just draw the undead. Possibly, who may well have been other victims of the Dreadstones that just... it just does not let them go, even in death. Well, hopefully, when I smashed them up, that was enough to finally send them on. But I'm not 100% sure about that. But hopefully, once I've got all three dreadstones, I'll be able to... I'll do something with them that will finally destroy them. I suggest throwing them into a volcano. That's always a good way to destroy powerful artifacts of great malice. Just throw them into a volcano. Sometimes it only works with particular volcanoes. But yeah, volcanoes. Generally a good way to destroy pretty much anything. But anyway, so next time, Giants of Galatap, and until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.